that presidents live in. So why should they worry about... Why should they worry about how much our little mansion or our little palace cost at 4855 Woodlawn? This fund, as I said, to be used for not-for-profit programs and operations, such as purchase of temples, religious propagation expenses, schools, nursing homes for the aged, scholarships, assistance to the weak, and other worthy causes. Total cash holdings in this fund now amounts to, and I'm happy and proud to say, $4,045,551.73. Why am I so proud to give you this figure? Because it represents an unprecedented growth or accumulation of this fund. This figure represents a growth of almost $1 million over the last past 100 days. Now, brothers and sisters, off the subject of finance, but nevertheless, just as important, I would say more important, is the subject of discipline in the Nation of Islam. We have been accused of using physical disciplinary measures to force members to stay in the Nation of Islam. We have been accused of using physical force to keep people following and supporting the Nation of Islam. There is no threat of physical force that can make people come together as orderly and as peacefully and as happily and as spiritually and as enthusiastically as the nation, as you see the members of the Nation of Islam come together right here. If they can't find a lie to use against you, they will invent a lie. Now, brothers and sisters, we know we haven't been perfect, but we know our record is a saintly record when you put it aside the record of other community groups that are as complex and are as involved as this community group. And we are calling more attention to be given to the dignity of discipline in Islam. When uniforms, and I'm talking about dress, this uniform, and the sisters' uniform, when uniforms take on meaning contrary to the purpose of that uniform, the importance of physical uniforms has to be thought out and understood as means of bringing about moral and spiritual uniformity. Now it's time for us to stop thinking about a physical dress, because we become like little children, some of us, thinking because we put on a police suit bought from the Five and Dime, our Indian dress bought from the Five and Dime store, that we are police and Indians. Now, the suit doesn't make the person. The suit only identifies that person that should be wearing that suit. But when that person get out of touch with the real purpose and meaning of his uniform, then the uniform will start to make that person. And it might make him a boy, playing cowboys and Indians. Muslims are required to be decent and modest in their dress. This is required of both men and women. It has been said, and I heard it myself over radio programs, say you men wrap your women all up. Certainly we wrap our women all up. We don't force them to wrap themselves all up. We just tell them that we like them that way. They have been unwrapped because the Caucasian mentality told them they like them that way. Now we are telling our sisters that we like them wrapped up. And they are happy to wrap up for us. Sex appeal is intended to excite sex. And the woman ain't gonna go no farther than she thinks you want her to go. If she see you don't like it, she'll stop. Now we want you to remember, if you've never given it a thought, give it a thought now, that we don't go around naked. We are covered too from head to toe. You don't see us out in the street with trunks, swimming trunks, shorts and jockey straps. Believe it or not, I've seen some filthy, stinking, funky men out in the street and look like the thing they were wearing was nothing but a jockey strap. Now, if you find one of the brothers that belong to us doing that, bring him to us, and if you can prove it against him, he'll lose his membership, and I mean just like that. We don't do any more than we ask our sisters to do. The whole Quran tells us this. It says when men and women meet each other, they should lower their gaze. They let the let believing men lower their gaze. Let believing women lower their gaze. So in Islam, the woman is not pointed out as a tempter any more than the man is pointed out. We are taught not to tempt our women, to lower their morals, and the women are taught not to tempt us men to lower our morals. This old sex-orientated, phallic-worshipping society, they took one sex form and made it a god, and the other, they made it the slave. But that's a lie. I've seen women cry because they lost their lover, and I've seen men cry because they lost their lover. But one is just as powerful as the other. And sister, if you think you've got something more powerful than what we got, you need to grow up. In the past, offenses such as poor attendance, slipping of the tongue, you know, telling a lie, or speaking that old, ugly, vulgar, obscene word that the tongue has been in the habit of speaking. Sometimes the tongue slips, and a sister or brother hear you say, mother. And when we learn it, you go right out the door, you know. In the past, such offenses, which are offenses of lesser importance, are weaker violations against, the moral code and law of Islam. In the past, these offenses have received the punishment of excommunication. You were put out of the temple, and you couldn't come back into society until your time was up. 30 days, 90 days, 60 days, a year, whatever it was, you had to spend your time. If you were caught going to a movie, you were put out of the temple. You were excommunicated until your time was up. Now, I think in the second resurrection, we have come out of the form of a baby nation, and we can say we are young men and women as a nation. And I believe that you can stand to have this discipline lifted in dignity. None subversive violators against us or against the moral code of Islam are no longer to be excommunicated or to be put outside of the nation of Islam. Only persons proven to be against the order and well-being of the nation of Islam will be excommunicated in the future. We will not accept you in positions of responsibility, trust, and power if you are guilty of these offenses. Why? Because you won't be strong enough to represent us in those strong positions. But you will be permitted to remain in the body of the Nation of Islam and attend meetings and congregate with us and worship with us. You cannot gain the strength needed to overcome those weaknesses if you're going to be thrown out from the society of strength into the streets of weaknesses. Islam has one code and one standard of justice for all. There are no big shot license to be passed out in the Nation of Islam. Those who commit shameful violations against religious morals and against religious principles and against Islamic moderation, showing themselves as Hollywood-made superflies, will have to conform or they will have to get out of the position in the Nation of Islam. We will not have any Daddy Graces, King Farouk, Ali Khan, him, enslavers of the poor and the weak, in positions of authority in the Nation of Islam as long as I live. Now, if the majority ever decide that they are for that, let me know right away. I'll resign and leave you. You don't have to give me a penny. I'll walk away penniless. But I won't stay here and represent a house that lies to the public and lies to themselves and use God to defend their lives. Thank you. Thank you. That's all right. Thank you very much. That's right. Thank you. Any minister or officer that enforced his personal will and judgment or our members against the orders from this office will be put out of his position indefinitely, and we won't hear any excuses. We gave instructions that went out nationwide, saying that the sisters did not have to wear these uniforms, and they were to be permitted in the temple meeting as long as they had decent dress, something on their head, their hair reasonably covered, long dress to the ankle, and their bosom and form covered, not showing their shape or their secret part. That as long as they came into the temple dressed in long dress, whether it was formal, uniform, or street dress, that they are to be allowed to come into the meeting, and they are not to be discriminated against and treated like they are unholy or of less holiness than those who wear uniform. Now, we appreciate these sisters wearing these beautiful uniforms. They look quiet and peaceful and clean and beautiful. I love them, and I ask them whenever they come to public meetings to wear these uniforms. But they are not forced to even come to public meetings in this uniform. But I wish they would wear it, because when they wear it, they distinguish us from others. And people are able to look at our number and see our sister. If we all dressed alike at these mass meetings, the public might think that some sisters that are not us, upon some sister part me that are us, are not us. They won't give full count of our number. They won't make a full count of our number, accurate count of our number. So we want the sisters to dress like this. They represent quality, cleanliness, beauty, uniformity, love, sisterhood, brotherhood, and nationhood. So we like for them to be that way at mass meetings, and we like for the brothers to be in their uniform at mass meetings, because we are representing ourselves, and we want to be identified and counted. Is that right? But when you come to temple meeting, don't let any minister, any captain, any secretary tell you that you have to wear a uniform. Sisters, make yourself comfortable in beauty. Comfortable and beautiful, and don't let nobody mistreat you. All right. I repeat, sisters, make yourself comfortable and beautiful. And don't let nobody mistreat you. I'd rather see you walk out and be a good Muslim at home and never go back to that crazy man that's trying to make robots and dummy dead sticks out of our people. We are not living for your donations. We need your donations to continue to live. But we are living to bring life, freedom, justice, and equality, peace, happiness, and prosperity to our poor, deprived, and destroyed people. And if you are staying in the temple and being enslaved, abused, and dehumanized, leave that temple. Go ahead. Buy Muhammad Speaks wherever you can find it. And whenever you're in Chicago, call me and let me know you're coming. And I'll meet you and talk with you. We have some misinformed, over-fat-brained ministers. Not many now. We have hundreds of ministers, but we have a few fat-headed, fat-brained, so much fat that thought can't get through the layers of it. And they number about, well, a little less than the fingers on this hand. but they are trying to bring ancient history and ancient social behavior on modern day life. Reading about Solomon and his many wives and concubines. Reading about King Saud and King this and King that. And trying to impose that on our poor sisters. Hold up. The Holy Quran, that text, is over 1,400 years old. And even that text says monogamy is the best and the peaceful way of life. One wife is the best and the peaceful way of life. And that the man who takes more than one is taking on added problems and headaches. And that he should be, as a Muslim, he should be compelled to deal justly and equally between them. But the Holy Quran says you can't do it, even though it be in your heart to do so. So it's plain enough, language from 1,400 years ago, when polygamy, many wives, was the way of life. In that day and time, the revealed knowledge came, saying that that way of life is headache for a man. That way of life is a hard and an impossible life. You want to be happy with yourself and with your family. But it wasn't outlawed. The Holy Quran says that if you can treat them equally, if you can deal justly between them, then you may have one, two, three, or four, four being the limit. Says, but you cannot do so, even though it be in your heart to do so. Now you interpret that Holy Quran for yourself if you want to. But take your interpretation and your harem out of the Nation of Islam before we catch up with you. Do you think I'm not a man? Do I look like I'm dried up? Until I can't find that one. When I can't find her, I have to get another. If you ain't strong enough to lift the zipper on your pants, you ain't strong enough to lead anybody. Brothers and sisters, we hope and trust that our open, clear, and sincere disclosure of our private life, our charities and our temple operations, our businesses and the national operations and our charities and business growth, and also our discipline and the problems that we have in the area of discipline. We hope that disclosing this to the public, making it public, will serve to preserve for us the correct image. And if it serves to do this, it is well worth us making this kind of open statement here today. We don't want to lose our image at home or in the street. People, if they are going to be attracted to us, they have to see something clean and worthwhile to be attracted to it. So we are not only economically strong and strong as men and as muscles in the field of Islam, but we are morally strong, and our human superiority is moral, spiritual, and intellectual excellence. I thank you. Remain men and women, and don't let anybody reduce you to a community of girls and boys again. Assalamu alaikum.